Pastor Jeff on what lasts and what doesn't.
You say, well, you know, we have plenty. I got money in the bank, you know, I own my house and that and that and that. No, wait a minute. Those are physical things. Those things can take a man down. What are you talking about? Those things don't last. They just here today, gone tomorrow. What lasts? What lasts is what the Lord's doing in our hearts. What lasts is that resurrection of the Lord in our lives.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Have you ever received a note of encouragement right in the midst of great suffering? A well-spoken word at just the right time can really be helpful. And that's what we find in the Epistle of 1 Peter. It was written to Christians who were unjustly persecuted and encountering fiery trials like you wouldn't believe. We can benefit from that letter too and receive God's encouragement and instruction for this difficult season of life we're in. Today on Sound Doctrine, Pastor Jeff Johnson speaks of a living hope.
So it's good to see you guys here. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to talk about our hope this morning. The last few weeks, we looked at Peter's introduction, his before the Lord, BC days. Wow, what a guy he was, struggling all the time. And then after being filled with the Holy Spirit, a different guy comes out. And that's usually how it goes. And now he's writing his letter, and he calls himself an apostle. Well, that's what God sent him to do. And he was a messenger. That's what apostle means. One who is to bring forth, and remember verse 2, he's talking to the elect. He's talking to those that were sanctified by the Holy Spirit in obedience, the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied. So we talked about each one of those different verses, or just that one verse is just good. Peter's taking us deep now into doctrine. Peter's taking us to the place that we need to go because of the times that we're living in. We see before us in this letter, this is right before his martyrdom. He is going to be killed. This is a very serious time in everyone's lives back at this time. He's an older and wiser man. He's warning everyone. He's encouraging everyone. He's giving hope to those going through troubled days. Now, anybody going through troubled days today? Let me see the hands. Come on. Hey, right on the money, right? We're in the right place. And we are going through troublous days. And so we've come to a place to be encouraged this morning, and God's going to seek to do that. Over in Acts 4:13, it's interesting, as these two men stood before the council, and you remember that they stood there, and the council, they said, we see the boldness in Peter and John standing there. But then they said, but these guys are ignorant, unlearned fishermen. You know, I mean, these guys don't know anything. But then they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. The times we spend with Jesus, as this time is one of those times, are very vital. What do? Well, they give us depth and understanding of what's going on in our day that we're living in. It helps us to help others pull up and out of the dive that they're in, of the place and the mindset, the attitude and the heart and everything. I heard a story about Orson Welles. Do you remember Orson Welles? He's a deep voice, big guy. And they loved to have him do things because his voice was so powerful and he was so articulate with his voice. And him and another man were called to come in front of people and read Psalm 23. And Orson commented and he said, "I know the psalm, but this guy knows the one who wrote it." I mean, it was after both of them read it. I mean, Orson Welles, he knows the psalm. This guy knows the guy that wrote it, man. He read it with conviction. He read it differently. So God, you know, wake us up. Look at verse 3 now. We're moving down. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It is just a praise and blessing, "which according to his abundant mercy," and it's abundant, "he has begotten us," or "he has set us aside again unto a living hope, by," notice, "the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Here he speaks of our salvation. It's not like the world. The world is, they play games. Over in Romans, remember, chapter 1 is such an incredible chapter of the downhill spiral of today's man. I mean, it was back then with Rome, and Rome fell, but it's today. If you read Romans chapter 1, that's homework for you, all right? Go home and look at it, because we're living in that these days, okay? But in Romans 1, verse 21, "because that," Paul says, "when they knew God," they knew about God. They knew there maybe was a God, maybe not. You know, they were just kind of, but it says they glorified him not as God. They didn't give him his proper place in their lives. "Neither were they thankful to a God that has given so much, but they became empty in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." They were cut off from life, cut off from hope, cut off from the mercies of God. I mean, what a place to be in. But that's what happens when we're unthankful. We say we know God, but we don't give him his proper place. And we're not thankful. I mean, truly thankful. "Oh, blessed be the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ," Peter says. That's the real response of true praise and thanks. Paul is interesting in Ephesians chapter 3. If you know anything about Ephesians, if you had Ephesians by itself and you were on an island, you could make it, man. You could make it big time, because Ephesians in and of itself is the whole Bible. It's just so packed full. But the first three chapters of Ephesians is all about what God has done for us. So if you ever feel like, "Oh, God's not doing nothing for me, man. I cry out and he doesn't hear my prayers and all this." And no, just sit down and read Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3. And then let me see you, ball baby. I don't think you can. Because after all that God has done for you. And he ends Ephesians chapter 3 with these two verses. Verse 20. "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen." That's how he closes the chapter 3. But then chapter 4 goes on. It's our part. He starts to talk about all because of what he's done. Now, how are we to live? I just love the book. It's great. But I say all of this to say this, that Peter does this in three verses that we're going to look at this morning. Verse 3, 4, and 5. Interesting. Peter says, as we read in Psalm, and I think we read this last time we were together, Psalm 116, because it kind of goes along with this. You know, he says, "What shall I render?" And this is Psalm 116, verse 12. "What shall I give to the Lord for all of his benefits towards me?" What can I give a God that has loved me so much and given me so much? What can I do? He says, verse 13, "I will take the cup of salvation, and I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to receive that sweet salvation for my soul, and I'm going to live in that salvation." And then he says, and I will pay my vows, you know, and I'll just receive, you know, that salvation that he has given to me in its fullness. That's true thanks. It's not that God wants to hear a bunch of loud praise music. You know, I was watching the other day, I don't know, I turned it on, and there was a Christian group doing their thing. I think it was probably on a YouTube thing, but they're doing their thing, and there's smoke everywhere. You can't see what's going on, and there's lights going, and you're going, wow, and then you can barely hear the guy because it's so loud. And the kids, hundreds, thousands listening are just jumping up and down, jumping up and down. You know, I thought, man, I don't know. I can't relate to that. Maybe it's because I'm an old dude. But I just don't see how that is glorifying God. I think that worship should be just like we just did this morning. You know, just singing songs that are meaningful in a way that we can hear the words, we can express them, and we can let them touch us. And we can truly just kind of give, you know, back to God all that he's given to us. Give him our worship and our praise. I don't think he gets into the loudness of it or the jumping up and down. I mean, really, when you think about it, look at Elijah and that story. He had 450 prophets of Baal who had challenged Elijah. Now Elijah challenged them. Okay, let's see who's God. And Elijah said, we'll see who comes down and burns this offering, and we'll put buckets of water in it, and this is going to be a real test. And so those guys get out there, 450 of them, and they start going, yeah, into their God, right? Cutting themselves. Oh, we're going to cut ourselves. We're going to sacrifice, man. That, our God will be proud of us bloody and everything. You know, they're jumping up and down. Nothing. Not a drop of nothing. Elijah just waited. And then he said, Lord, hear my cry. Come and reveal yourself. And boom, he comes and he just takes up the offering. Okay, guys, I guess your God is not listening, but my God sure listened. And he's the Lord. He's the Lord. And maybe your God's on a vacation. Maybe he's in the toilet. I don't know. And that's really what he's saying there in the scriptures, that he's doing his business. And he started to mock them a little bit because they're so ridiculous. But we know who is Lord. Our response is to simply praise and worship him because he's blessed us. Interesting. The same with our giving. Why do we give? What is this whole thing of giving? We don't give to get. You know, Benny Hinn just did a whole repentance thing on all the years that he told people, you must give me $1,000 right now. There's 30 of you that have $1,000. Bring it now, and God will bless you. And he kept doing that over the years, flying around in his Learjet, doing his stuff. What is that all about? And that turns people off. I mean, but he repented. I don't know, you know, why all of a sudden this repentance? Praise God that he says it's wrong, and I was beating the sheep and fleecing the flock, he said. And he was. He was hurting the body of Christ by making these demands. Why do we give? It's not to get. We give because he's given. We give out of a heart that's turned towards him, that showed his strength towards us in saving us, pulling us out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit, and placing us on a solid rock. That's why we give. Man, I remember when I was a young Christian, I'd go into a place, I don't care where it was, what Bible study it was, I would give whatever I had in my pockets. I was so blessed to be saved and out of the pit. And I continue this day to give because of all that he's done. And it's not about anything else. And so we need to search our hearts. Do we know this sweet salvation? Are we grateful for all that he has given to us? It's part of our response for that salvation. So thanks to our Father, our God, for his awesome Son. And to pay the price that we could never pay. How do you pay for your own sins? Who's going to forgive the world of the sin that it's in? There's only one person that came to do that, and that is Jesus. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one that paid for the sins of the world, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. What a powerful Lord we have. Now he lives in me. He walks with me. And this is why he came, to save and to give us hope. You see, there was no hope back then. He came right at the right time because these people had been rolled over by the Roman war machine. And it just, like a roller on the street, it just rolled right over. It crushed them. It wiped them out. They were on a daily thousands being killed in the arenas. Blood was flowing. Incredible. And so Peter writes at this time these heavy things to give hope, that we have this relationship. If we say, listen to this, if we say he's Lord in name only, we have no salvation. If we say, oh yeah, Jesus is Lord. Yeah, I went forward at the harvest, and I was down there with the thousands of them. Okay, that's great. Where are you at now? What's going on? Is there change? You can say Jesus is Lord, but that's without a life's changed life. It's for nothing. What's interesting is Jesus touches on this in Matthew 7, verse 21. He says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We need to see that we were saved to do his will, not our will, to be used of him, not to use God, but to be used of him. What do you want me to do today, Lord? You know, and be led of the Lord. So we're born into this living hope is what he's saying. And what is the living hope? It's the resurrection. It's the one that Paul, writing to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, notice that, and our Lord Jesus Christ, the great God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to, the God-man, he's coming again. That hope that we have, that he is coming soon because of all the prophecies being fulfilled. And then over in 1 John in chapter 3, verse 3, John brings it home and he says, and every man that has this hope in him, what hope? The hope of the coming of the Lord. He purifies himself even as he is pure. It keeps us looking up. This hope, this coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not something that is my will. I mean, it's not that I'm being good because he's coming back or I'm making my promises to God. It has nothing to do with that. It's just that God loves me and saved me. And he's doing the work. I'm just seeking to be obedient. Then we're all struggling with that. What is it that pleases the Lord? I think what pleases the Lord is when we worship him, when we thank him for all he's done for us. That's what blesses him more than anything else. But we don't do that because we want blessing. We do that because he gave blessing. Are you following me? It's just, wow. It's a whole different heart attitude. Notice he goes on and he says, but by his abundant mercies, that's a tender mercy. He's a tender, merciful Father. And Peter experienced the resurrection. Peter was in the upper room when the Spirit was poured out. Peter was at the empty tomb. He was there. He's writing from what he saw and experienced and is experiencing, and yet he's writing to those that have nothing anymore. He's writing to those that are being squashed. He's writing to those that are being persecuted. You say, well, you know, we have plenty. I got money in the bank, you know, I own my house and da, 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 da. No, wait a minute. Those are physical things. Those things can take a man down. What are you talking about? Those things don't last. They just here today, gone tomorrow. What lasts? What lasts is what the Lord's doing in our hearts. What lasts is that resurrection of the Lord in our lives. I mean, over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, just write these down. You can look them up later, but these are powerful scriptures that are really breaking down what Peter is trying to say to those who were under heavy burden. I know that we in these last days are under heavy burdens. He's the one to lift them off of us, but we are being persecuted here, guys. We are being manipulated here. It's the lies of the enemy. It's the fear that he seeks to put on us. It's the time that we're living in. It's what's going on, the air of hatred in the streets and the killings, the mass killings. I mean, it's just one thing after another. Haven't you picked up on that? It's messing with our minds. That's why we need to have the mind of Christ. That's why we need to get into the Word. That's why we need to read, letters like Peter is writing, because we get encouraged. All of a sudden, we realize we have such a hope. We have such a salvation that's just not waiting for us. We've experienced it. Now we're looking forward to even greater that's coming. And so that means our eyes aren't on this place. They're there on this above. We're looking and thinking about Jesus is coming. He's coming for me. He's coming for you any day now. And we encourage one another with these words. And we're kept purified by the... This world's filthy. This world's dirty. And you can get yourself dirty real easy just by not having that mind of Christ and not just, bathing in the Spirit of the Lord and just seeking the things of God first. All these things will be added to you, he says. So his mercy, he made us into a new creation. He's changing us. He's conforming us to be like him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can just push that aside and say, I read that. Or you can get into it and you can say, wow, God, your power is transforming me. Your power is getting a hold of me. You're conforming me into the mind of Christ, into the character of Christ. That's mind-blowing. I'm looking forward to that every day. How can this happen? It's the Lord working in us so he can do this work through us to a world that needs to see Jesus.
You're listening to Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine. Hope is missing for many Americans, and some wonder if it can ever be found in days like these. This passage in 1 Peter is pointing the way to our hope, found in none other than the Lord Jesus. Hey, would you like today's study on CD? You can purchase a copy when you give us a call toll-free, 800-353-7553. Suggested donation is $5. Again, that's 800-353-7553. I should also mention you can replay today's program at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also have an app, and that's a great way to stay connected with us. Listen to some of Pastor Jeff's teachings as well. Look for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. And then listen to our podcast wherever you like to listen to your favorite podcasts. Today, we'd like to recommend a book written by Pastor Chuck Smith. It's called Charisma versus Charismania. This book offers a balanced look at the person and work of the Holy Spirit, and will help you avoid the extremes surrounding the subject. You'll also be armed with solid biblical teaching as well. Get a copy from us for just $12 when you visit our e-store at sounddoctrineradio.org. And again, you can also call 800-353-7553. Please also remember we are listener-supported. We believe people desperately need the sound doctrine contained in God's Word right now. And with your help, we're able to provide it to them. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or by calling 353-7553. You know, in radio, it's not always easy to identify who's listening and where. But that is where you come in and you can actually help. Take a moment today and write to us. Let us know if you're getting a lot out of this study in 1 Peter and if you appreciate the teaching you receive through Sound Doctrine. That would mean a great deal to us. You can email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org, and when you do, mention the station that you're listening to. Again, that's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. We'll return to 1 Peter next time out on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. May God richly bless you as you take in and apply sound doctrine to your daily life. So Father,